From the campus of the University of Pennsylvania Wharton School, this is Marketing Matters on Business Radio.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to Marketing Matters here on Business Radio, Sirius XM 132. I'm Barbara Kahn, the Patty and J.H. Baker Professor of Marketing, and I'm joined by my special guest host today, Annie Wilson, who's a behavioral scientist, and she's a professor here of marketing here at Wharton. Hello, Annie. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, we're excited to have you. Americus is not here today. He's out doing something. He never tells me actually what he's doing, so I don't know. But he'll be back another time. But it's really good that Annie's here, because today we're going to celebrate and talk about Women's History Month. And Annie knows a lot about being a woman, I suppose.
I guess so.
And so we can talk a lot. She's also a big expert on advertising. She teaches our advertising course, and she does a lot on wellness. She does a lot in consumer behavior. So her expertise and perspective will be really useful. And coming up today on today's show, we have Sabrina Sanchez, who's a senior reporter of creativity at Ad Age. And she's written about a lot of the newest campaigns, and she kind of has her pulse on what's going on in advertising for Women's History Month. So we're really excited to have her describe some of the campaigns that she has written about and knows about, and maybe her general reactions to everything going on this month. Welcome, Sabrina.
Welcome. Thank you so much for having me on the show. And I'm glad that everyone's going to be able to talk about Women's History Month today. I'm so excited about this topic.
So one of the things Annie and I were talking about before we started is we were wondering if you have a general sense, like, is this the year of the woman? Is it the year of the happy woman? Is it the year of the mad, angry woman? Do you have any sense on what the general tenor of these campaigns and what you're seeing? Is there big overall conclusions that you can draw?
Yeah, well, one of the things that I've been seeing is that a lot of the campaigns that are coming out this year are really calling out the limitations on women's progress. We're seeing that there's a big call out in terms of women being affected by, obviously, you know, prejudices, biases that affect women in the workplace, women from pursuing their dreams in their careers, being able to progress financially, you know, personally, and just achieving their goals overall. Some interesting campaigns, and I'm sure we can talk about them, are, you know, from Ford Motor Company talking about the car girl. And, you know, just talking about some of the biases and limitations placed on women in terms of their interest in cars and mechanics and engineering. There's also Kotex, which is, you know, from the creator of Like a Girl, AJ Hassan. But this campaign is basically about the threats to women's progress, and it strikes a very defiant tone on how women can basically just turn the other cheek to some of these limitations and use that as a vehicle for empowerment. There's also campaigns about sexual harassment and the impact that it has on women's progress. And so this is sort of like the theme that I'm seeing throughout. You know, there's a crypto campaign about women being more involved in cryptocurrency investments. And I could go on, but this is basically the theme that we're seeing.
Do you think brands are appropriately balancing, like, telling the story or giving the information that some people might not be aware of in terms of barriers with empowering women? And I guess I say that from the perspective of looking at a lot of the ads. It can sometimes feel a little depressing when you're just reminded of, like, this barrier and that barrier and that barrier. And you're like, yeah, I know. Like, I know all these barriers. So I see there's one imperative to give information to people who don't know about the barriers and could help. But at the same time, do you think ads are appropriately balancing the celebration and empowerment aspect of Women's History Month?
I do. I think the tone that's being struck in a lot of these ads is that there are barriers, but that we have it in our power to change the narrative. So I think what's different about this year, or, you know, just from years past, is that there is conversation about the limitations, but then there's also options for a solution, right? A lot of these initiatives have things like grants that they're granting to women entrepreneurs. There are opportunities for mentorship for women. There are some campaigns that offer resources that are lacking, for example, like the menstrual products that I'm talking about, donations so that women can access more menstrual products and therefore get more education and be better able to access progress at work in their careers and et cetera. So I do think that these campaigns strike a balance in that, you know, the way that most of them end off is here are ways that we can educate ourselves. Here are ways that we can change our circumstance. And here are ways that we can do better to empower women, you know, both amongst each other, but then also for other people in larger society as well.
If you're thinking about these ads, before we talk about the specific campaigns, I'm also, you know, just wondering about the goals of the company from, say, an advertising or a marketing perspective. So you would think it would make sense for most companies to try to say something nice about women consumers, given a lot of the purchasing power comes from a woman consumer. And there might be some categories that are naturally appealing to women, like Kotex, for example. Obviously, that's a category that's a woman's brand, and they might have different motives in doing a campaign this year for women's history than something like Ford, where I typically think of that as a male category. And maybe one of the reasons they want to embrace Women's History Month is to appeal to women who aren't their natural consumer or something like that. Can you talk at all about that, like differences that you see in the types of campaigns that come out from a woman's brand versus a brand that's trying to attract women?
Yeah, absolutely. I do think that what's been interesting is that the categories that are already targeting women, and women is like their largest consumer base, it's more about empowerment and camaraderie amongst women, if that makes sense, like just trying to uplift each other in ways that maybe we haven't before, talking about the things that are maybe taboo that other women might relate to. But the difference is that for the categories that are male dominated, a lot of these campaigns are about changing perception. Public perception of women. And so less so, you know, about some of these inside things that other women might know, and more so about just changing the way that the world at large, society at large sees us. So like that Ford Motor Company campaign, you know, A Letter to Car Girls, it is, you know, women empowering other women and writing a love letter to other women that like cars, but also representation and putting more women in front of the screen that are interested in mechanics, that like engineering, that like cars, that are racers, that we don't typically often see when we think of NASCAR, you know, or Formula One. So these are the things that make those campaigns a little bit different. And you know, we are starting to see that there is an effort from a lot of these brands to put more women in front of the screen in some of these categories that we wouldn't normally think of.
Yeah, so I think kind of piggybacking on that idea of talking about ads and categories that are sort of inherently attracting more women or men, I'm also curious about what you think about the effectiveness of ads that come from brands that traditionally serve women but are talking to men about women's history and women's rights. So, for example, there's a very famous ad from 2019 by L'Oreal where the headline is, "This is an ad for men," and then it's the different lipstick levels, and they're trying to show the pay gap between men and women, and they're basically saying, "This is for men so that you can be aware of this to help empower the women that you work with and make sure there's equality." It seems like also a little bit of L'Oreal's ad this year is about, you know, don't accept street harassment, but also intervene if you're a bystander. Do you have an opinion on the effectiveness of ads that are trying to engage men and whether they are more or less effective if they come from an inherently male or masculine or feminine brand?
Yeah, that's a great question. I do think that there's effectiveness there because I think when these women-oriented brands specifically say, "I'm going to call out the men and men pay attention," it now basically breaks that fourth wall, right? And now you're talking to a group that honestly has a privilege to not pay attention to these things because it doesn't affect them. And so all of a sudden you're calling them into the conversation. You're saying this is not just a women's issue. This is a society's issue, right? And that the women in your life are suffering because of XYZ reasons, and you should probably care about this and know about this. So, you know, I think the L'Oreal campaign, to your point, this year is very interesting. Because it is talking to women, but it's also talking to men, right? There's some posters that are basically saying, don't blame the clothing. Don't blame the way that women look for street harassment. And it's telling the women that it's not your fault, but it's also inviting the men to say, so whose fault is it, right? And so there's this QR code. It leads to a microsite that has a 5-minute training video for bystanders about standing up to street harassment. And so this is an example of men being invited into the conversation. And now you can't ignore this anymore, right? You need to educate yourself. And if you see something, say something, you know, the adage tale of just getting involved and intervening when you see something that affects women.
And do you have any thoughts also on when brands should and shouldn't say something during Women's History Month? So Barbara had mentioned earlier, I can't remember now if this was before or after we started, but the idea that it makes sense to say something to celebrate this group of people who are your consumers or could be easily become your consumers. It's such a large group. It kind of always makes sense to say something. On the other hand, there have been cases where brands have weighed in and put out an ad during Women's History Month. Last year on International Women's Day, there were a lot of tweets that went out celebrating, and then this bot went through and actually was able to expose the pay gap for that particular brand or company, showing women were paid less by the brand despite these feel-good posts. Or there was a car ad that ran celebrating women in automotives. It wasn't the Ford ad. And then they learned, well, they actually had very few women on their board or in management levels, and they weren't walking the walk. And so how do you kind of assess that risk of, like, when should you weigh in or not?
Yeah, I mean, I think the simple answer to that question is you need to look internally, and it starts with your people. What are your policies, right? What are you paying the women in your company? But also beyond that, do you have a flexible maternity leave policy that is, you know, conducive to supporting women that have, you know, undergone birth? Do you have a pregnancy loss policy? Do you have a policy for menopause? What is your policy on women that are maybe trying to get pregnant and trying to support that? You know, there are some companies that maybe even have abortion policies and will support women if they need to, you know, get an abortion covered by insurance or so on and so forth. So I think it starts with looking internally, and then also choose an issue that you know you can speak to, right? If you do have a equitable pay in your company for women, then maybe pay is the issue that you want to talk about. Whereas if you have a more flexible, you know, work from home policy or daycare policy or maternity leave policy, then maybe that's the issue that you want to support. But I do think that it starts internally. And maybe if you want to make some noise for Women's History Month, you start with a self-promotional campaign or a campaign that talks about the work that you're doing internally before you go externally.
Just switching gears a little bit, maybe talking about what I thought was an interesting campaign was this Binance campaign. They created a luxury fragrance for women called Crypto. You want to talk a little? That one sounds a little bit different than some of these things here. They're trying to engage women in cryptocurrency investing and things like that. Can you talk a little bit about what that campaign was and whether or not you think that was a hit or a miss? Like, is that a good campaign?
Yeah, so this one was an interesting one. So for International Women's Day, Binance basically organized a series of local meetups and created like these pop-ups where they put out a fragrance for women, and it's called Crypto. And it's part of a larger effort to bring more women into the cryptocurrency investing. And so they put this pop-up stand in a shopping mall, and they were trying to promote the new scent. And then they also rewarded each of the first 5,000 women who successfully completed a crypto beginner course on Binance with $25 in USDT token vouchers. So this was interesting because they were trying to reach women through a physical product, but the overarching idea is actually just to get them educated on crypto and you know, possibly pique curiosity in learning more about a space that is, we know, largely dominated by white men. You know, in my personal opinion, the approach was a little bit strange. I don't think that fragrance is necessarily the best way to get women to join the cryptocurrency space and learn more about crypto. But I will say that I do think they're onto something here, which is there is a lot of talk about this, you know, alternative currency and not enough education reaching women. And so I do think that there is an opportunity to close the wealth gap between men and women if we educate them on crypto. So I like the insight, I like the idea, but I'm not sure the execution was the best. But you know, I will say I do think they're on the cusp of something important, and I hope that they continue this for sure.
Yeah, I would say that the fragrance part feels a bit stereotyping, actually. Like, it almost feels like this campaign was made by men. I'm not sure if it was, but it feels potentially stereotyping to that end.
Yeah, that's what I liked about it, the incongruity of having a fragrance called crypto. Like, what does crypto smell like? That kind of thing. You know, it's kind of an interesting idea. It certainly could get people talking. And in the past, there have been some really interesting novel fragrances that have driven conversation. I think Burger King came out with like something where they made a fragrance smell like hamburgers.
And KFC has the fire log.
Yeah. So there's things like that where people have done kind of fun things with it, and the idea that what scent is crypto. And in some sense, this seems a little bit more taking advantage of Women's History Month rather than the kinds of serious issues you were talking about people addressing and what Annie was talking about. Make sure you're not vulnerable on those dimensions. You know, you get into heavier issues. Here it seems like, oh, it's Women's Month. Let's do something to like get more women interested in what we're selling. Like, that seems more like that kind of campaign. And just looking at some of these other campaigns, maybe you might want to talk a little bit about the Wolverine one. Like, what was that campaign?
Yeah, so Wolverine, they did something very interesting, and it was specifically around the manufacturing of their products. So it's about women in the skilled trades and talking about women made, right? Because a lot of times when we talk about manufacturing and American manufacturing, we say man-made, American made, so on and so forth. So they created an anthem video challenging the use of the phrase man-made and introducing woman made. But this is part of a larger effort and a petition to add woman made to the dictionary. Which is interesting, right? Because we talk about these inclusive terms and we're trying to include more women in not only marketing, but just the way that we talk about them in society at large. So this was really interesting. They started going to bystanders just in New York City, you know, Brooklyn Bridge, Terminal 1 at LAX as well. And they were asking them about things that they may or may not have known were created by women. And so that includes certain, you know, structures. It could include certain products. But a lot of people didn't know that certain things were made by women. And so hence the term woman made.
Ah, that's cool. I like that one. That to me is a hit. That's kind of more interesting than a cologne called crypto.
Yeah. I'm curious because earlier you brought up the idea of abortion and also leave for fetal loss or other, you know, feminine issues. I'm curious, given the current sociopolitical context, have you observed that brands are being bolder or less bold this year than in prior years? Because I could see it going both ways. Like, one is they don't want to go bold because they don't want to end up in the political firestorm themselves or look like they're choosing a side. On the other hand, it's a real chance to put your stake in the ground and say which kind of side you're on any of these issues.
This is a great question. I will say I have noticed that brands are being a little less bold on the touchy subjects, right? The abortion and the fetal loss and so on and so forth. But there is definitely a push for more advocacy on certain issues that I haven't seen before as well. So, for example, like menopause. So one of the campaigns that I wrote about.
I like the way your voice lowered a little bit when you said that. Sorry, but I noticed that.
Yeah, so one of the campaigns that I wrote about was actually so creative. The creative agency mechanism is calling on the ad industry to codify menopause support in their benefits policies. And basically, it's this campaign. It's called the Menoclause. And the Menoclause wants to implement, you know, awareness and education resources for all employees, managers to receive training to understand symptoms and how to support colleagues that are, you know, experiencing menopause, flexible work arrangements, free virtual access to treatment and counseling, employee forums for discussing menopause, and then also accommodations for those experiencing symptoms like hot flashes and temperature adjustment or desk fans. So I think that's really interesting. And I've definitely seen more campaigns about menopause in general.
Aging the population.
Well, yeah, that could definitely be one.
And they got money, you know. Sabrina, this has been super interesting. And thank you so much for joining us today. But we're going to have to wrap this up. And we're really interested in where our listeners can go to keep up with you and find out more about these campaigns. I know you've been writing about them, taking, you know, really describing them and taking notice of everything that's going on. So where can our listeners go to keep up with you?
AdAge.com. And you click the creativity tab on the top. And that's me.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Nice way to find you. Thank you very much for being here. That's all we have time for today. We'd like to thank our producers, Dion Simpkins and Dana Cash. We're here every Wednesday from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. We replay our show several times throughout the week. You can follow our show and our podcast at Knowledge at Wharton. And you can also follow Business Radio at SXM Business for information about all our programming. Thank you for listening today. We'll be back next week. Till then, this has been Marketing Matters. I'm Barbara Kahn, here with my guest co-host Annie Wilson, Business Radio, Sirius XM 132.